Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 133:1. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning. Oh, gracious Father, we know that we have broken your laws and our sins have separated us from you. We ask that you please forgive our many transgressions and help us in our struggles to avoid sinning again. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, and we ask that you empower us with the same ability to forgive and have mercy on others, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's sure good to be here with you folks this morning and just feel the fellowship that you've had already, and it is a warm atmosphere within your church. I so appreciate that. It's been Mother's Day. We were over at the Subway having dinner after the church service, and we met Linda and Neil Schroeder, I don't know if I pronounce it right, and I think they had their daughter or daughter-in-law and some, I presume they were grandkids. And I thought, well, boy, that's a neat family. And I see you folks, as you fellowship together, you're like a big family. And that's so good, and that's what I wanted to speak about. But just to give you a little bit of introduction, I suppose, we pastored up in Buffalo, South Dakota, way up in the northwest corner. And you might have noticed some of the Harding County and Colombe they're competitors. Well, Harding County would sometimes have to come down here, sometimes Colombe would have to go up there. And sometimes Harding County won, sometimes Colombe won. But we were up there for like 37 years, and then last year, it was on June the 5th of last year, that was my last Sunday at the church up there. And then until March of this year, I was going back and forth, hauling stuff down to Wiwila, and that's where my wife Karen is from. She grew up there in Wiwila, and her mom is there, and then her two sisters are there. The one sister has a husband, and then Karen, so there's, four Coles, and then two son-in-laws, or whatever, we're outlaws, I guess, or something like that. But anyway, it probably should be called Colville rather than Wiwila. But it's good to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to minister. An honor and a real privilege to do that. In Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm using the King James Version, and I'll probably be turning in my Bible, and if you want to turn with, that would be great. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 and 15, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Well, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for you. Lord, we're grateful for these men and women, these young people, their love for you and their service unto you. Lord, I just pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would bless this message. I pray that we might learn from you. We might learn from your word. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When we speak of the family, and I wanted to bring out some various things about the family. First of all, the family within the home. And today the homes are, sometimes there is a dysfunctional family, I suppose you might say. There's problems within the home. And then I want to also consider some within the culture, how the family might have an influence within the culture. And then when we consider the kingdom of God, the family of those who belong to Jesus Christ. And as I made mention, it seemed like you folks are like a family, that there is that fellowship that you have, greeting one another. I thought, well, do we go down one aisle? No, you go around the other aisle too. You come around the back and come around, you know, to greet a whole bunch of people. And that is really nice. That is real special. When we think of the home, and within the family, there's, first of all, there should be love. And that's something that should be a part of our lives. Something that Jesus talks about is that there would be love. And within the scriptures, I'm sure you're familiar with the passage over in 1 John, and how we're to love one another. But even within Ephesians, going over to the fourth chapter, and in verse 32 it says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And that says so much. Sometimes we would use the word love, but we might say, well, that encompasses so much to say love. But perhaps we should say, well, let's be kind one to another. We're within the home, the kindness between husband and wife, the consideration between husband and wife, between children and their parents, between children and one another. Sometimes I like that word perhaps better, kindness. Love, yeah, we can say, well, I love you, I love you, I love you. And sometimes that comes easy to say. Sometimes it's real hard to say. My mom and dad, and I grew up in on a little farm back in Minnesota. And then Karen came to our hometown, and we met, and then when we got married up there in Buffalo, we got married right here in Winter, is where we were married, because Karen went to a church here in town. But you know, dad and mom, they very seldom would say, "I love you." I'm not sure if they ever did say that. They were perhaps from the old school. I don't know if you would call it that as a school or not, but to hesitate to say, "I love you." But perhaps even more so than just saying it is to be doing it, to be involved with being kind towards one another, to be considerate of one another. There can be the problems within the home. There can be the pressures within the home. Our farm back there was so small that dad had to work in town, and then sometimes mom worked in town as well. We were about 15 miles from Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and I went to high school in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. But there can be the pressures. And within our home, there was 9 of us children. I have a twin sister who lives in Michigan, and so there's the pressures, milking the cows, feeding the sheep, taking care of the little farm, and then getting off to work in town. And life, I'm sure, is perhaps even more pressure orientated today than in those days. But yet to have some type of love and consideration within the home. But one other aspect would be the respect. And perhaps we don't hear too much about that. When we were up there in Buffalo, I went over to a boys' ranch, Sky Ranch for Boys. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that. It was right on the border of South Dakota and Montana. Actually, some of the land was into Montana. But this was a home for delinquent boys and homeless boys and problem boys. But one of the things that was important, at least towards the latter years of the operation there, was to have respect. And that's something that we need within the home as well. I taught, I was mainly doing maintenance there at Sky Ranch, but for 3 years I taught small engines. And one of the things we had to do as a teacher, we had to start off the class and say, "I will do whatever it takes to show you respect." And I could say that very, very easily. "I'll do whatever it takes to show you respect." And then there would be like 8 to 10 boys or something like that. And each one would reply in return, "I'll do whatever it takes to show you respect." They would say that to me as a teacher. And I added some more. You know, these were from Iowa and from Minnesota and South Dakota and various states that these boys would be there. And they had gotten into trouble, and they were actually sentenced. You know, they had problems. I don't know exactly what they were. They didn't give us their records. But they this was a place for delinquent boys, for problem children. And I added, I said, I'll do whatever it takes to show you respect because you guys are important. And I think that's important within the home. You know, a child, as that child is growing up, they don't know everything. They're learning. And for the parents to respect the child, but then, you know, the child also to respect the parents. Over in, also in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So this is addressed to children. Okay, obey your parents. But there's another verse there as well. Verse 4, and ye fathers, and I think it can be added, and you mothers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That mom and dad, they have some responsibility within the home for their children. That and there can be the overly strict discipline that the parents would have. And I think that sometimes those Sky Ranch boys, they had some domineering, abusive parents, and then they rebelled. They got involved with drugs and alcohol and whatever else, and gangs. And one of the things within the gangs, you know, and I learned some about them, is that this aspect of respect was very, very important. Sometimes a gang member would be in the wrong place at the wrong time and wouldn't be showing respect, and there could be some bad consequences for them. But fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That you know, seems like strong language, but it's something that there has to be the respect both ways. Not only love, not only respect, but correction and discipline. I think most of you are familiar with the passage over in Proverbs, chapter 22, 6, and I printed it out. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So there's the training up of the child. Then sometimes there's the discipline. Sometimes there's the correction, but the correction should be first. Some way there can be the discipline, and how do we as adults want to be corrected? He says, I don't want somebody to physically correct me, physically discipline me, and it can be verbal, that we would tell someone, you know, if they are doing wrong. You know, it can be hard to do that, you know, to talk to someone, but we do, sometimes we do need correction, and sometimes we do need instruction. Okay, this is the right way to do it. And not so much in a negative way. When something bad happens, sometimes we need to be told the right way of so that it doesn't happen again. So there's things that we can give within the home for that family, that family within the home. Time, this is a precious commodity. It seemed like today that we have these time-saving devices. We have the microwaves and whatever else, all the various things, and yet our time can be used for sometimes too much time on the computer or too much time in front of the TV, whatever. We can spend our time. But sometimes those children, and they need some extra time, that they would just want some time with mom and dad within the home. And then, fourthly, there should be the spiritual instruction within the home. And we might say, well, this is for the pastor, this is for the youth leader, this is for the Sunday school teacher. And these are all very, very important, that there is that spiritual guidance outside of the home, but shouldn't mom and dad also talk to their children about Jesus Christ? Talk to them about spiritual things, perhaps talk to them a little bit about their own spiritual experiences? It's okay to pray within the home. It's okay to read the Bible within the home. These are good to have done within the home so that those children know about biblical values and biblical standards that they would be following of Jesus Christ. Yes, there aren't any grandchildren within the kingdom of God. We all have to come to the Lord ourselves. We all have to make a decision to serve the Lord and live for Him. That's personal, but mom and dad can be helpful. Mom and dad can be there and lead their children to Jesus Christ. Allow them to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Lead them in a prayer to accept Jesus. So there's the family within the home. What a great thing the home can be. And yet sometimes there's the problems within the home, and sometimes those children end up going the wrong way. Sometimes moms and dads go the wrong way. But to have God within the home. But then when we consider the family within our culture, within our society, and I wondered about what scripture would apply. How are we as family members, and yes, we're individuals, how can we influence our society? How can we influence our culture? What can we do? And over to Matthew chapter 5. We read about being salt and light. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, and I appreciate hearing your Bible pages being turned, because that's okay. I up there in Buffalo, we didn't have an overhead screen. We were sort of backward, I guess, and maybe I'm backward by using the King James Version. I do use other versions for devotions at times, but I don't know, I guess I'm still an old King James Version guy. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to be salt. We are to be light. Whether it's standards about life, whether it's standards about marriage, whatever the godly standards, our culture is changing. But I'm afraid that sometimes our culture is not changing in the right direction, that there's some problems that we as Christians, if we in some way can be salt there, be light, to show the best that there can be within the society. Yes, we have problems. Yes, there's sometimes difficulties that we face. Sometimes there's problems within our own homes or within our relations, the others in our family, extended families. Sometimes they have problems. But if we can endeavor to follow God Almighty, to follow His standards within our society, I think of you folks here and the other folks within the Winter area, the Christians, the believers, the church attenders, that if we can have an influence to do what is right one by one, yes, it's one by one, but whether there's some letters that we could write, whatever we can do to make an influence upon our society, when we know that something is being done that isn't very good, If we can try to take a stand for the right to do what is right within the home, the family, within our culture. I'm going to read a little bit about some of the problems. So it's some facts about the modern American family. The classic nuclear family, the kind imprinted on the American imagination by TV shows like Leave It to Beaver, has been left behind. In 1960, 37% of households included a married couple raising their own children. More than a half century later, just 16% of households look like that. 16% have a mom and dad, a traditional, you might say, traditional family. Here are some facts. Number one, Americans are putting off life's big milestones. Today, the median age at first marriage is 29 for men and 27 for women, the highest in modern history. In 2013, more than one in four, 26% of people ages 18 to 32 were married. But in 1960, well over half, 65% of Americans were married. I guess we didn't get married. We got married here in winter, and I was an older one. I was 32, and Karen was 30, so we didn't really meet that standard, I guess. We were more like, we were even later than what they are today, 29 and 27. Mothers are also waiting longer to have children. In 1960, women ages 15 to 24 accounted for 40% of mothers with infants. By 2011, that number had dropped to 22%. Today, an American woman on average is expected to have 1.9 children, compared with a total fertility rate of 3.7 children in 1960. Current levels are below the replacement rate of 2.1 children, the number of births needed for children to replace their parents in the population. Another fact, families today are more blended and differently constructed. Nearly half, 44% of young people ages 18 to 29 have a step sibling. That there's these the broken homes or broken families. There's a divorce that has come in. Sometimes there's separation. And it happens. And it happens, it seemed like, all around. You know, I think of those within my own relationships, my own, either my family or Karen's family, and that this takes place. You know, that's the way it is. But, you know, these things are taking place, they're happening, and yet we still can follow Jesus Christ. We still have that opportunity to make a difference, to do what is right as best we can. More babies are born to unmarried mothers than ever before. Unmarried women accounted for 41% of births in 2011, up from just 5% in 1960. In 2011, 72% of births to black women were to unmarried mothers. So 72% in the black culture, compared with 53% of births to Hispanic women and 29% of births to white women. So it's sort of sad. They have a little chart here, 72%, 53%, and then 29%. Another fact, intermarriage among people of different races is increasingly common. In 1980, just 7% of all marriages in the U.S. were between spouses of a different race or ethnicity. In 2010, that share has doubled to 15% of all new marriages in the U.S. Hispanics, 26%, Asians, 28%, were most likely to marry out, compared with 9% of whites and 17% of blacks. And that's true. I have three nieces. The one married a man from Hungary, and they're planning on going back to Hungary just within a month or so. They're That's my sister's daughter and her husband and the family. And then another one of the sisters there, the niece, she married a Mexican. And then another niece married a Chinese. And so, you know, that happens, you know, to those outside of the culture. How can we as a family be influential within the culture? Salt, light, keep on being salt. Now, not, and Jesus says there, he says, but if that salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot. Ye are the light of the world. We need to keep on being lights. Need to keep on being salt. And thirdly, I want to bring out some about not only the family within the home, the family within the culture, our society, but the family of God. The men and women, the young people that have committed their life to Jesus Christ, that we can be a part of God's family. The family that eventually will go to be with the Lord. Go to be with the Lord either through the rapture or through death, that we would go to be with him. Over in Ephesians, and quite a few of these scriptures are from Ephesians. And then my text message there in that 15th, or 14th and 15th verse, which I read at the beginning, going back to that passage. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That whole family. And you check that out in the concordance, and family is used in the King James Version only one time in the New Testament, and that's right here. And I'm thankful that there is a big, big family of believers that are going to be in heaven with the Lord. That Paul talks about this whole family, and it's so good to be a part of the family of God. There's a little chorus that we used to sing, and I don't know if you have sung it here or not. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And there's some verses for that. But the chorus says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm a part of the family of God. And we can be a part of the family. We might come from different backgrounds. We might be at different ages. We might have various differences. Yet when we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, when we allow him to be our Lord and Savior, we can be a part of his family. We can be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Within the church, within that church family, there's also to be what I talked about to begin with, love, respect, and sometimes instruction within that church family. Over to Ephesians chapter 4, 3rd through the 6th verse, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. As there can be that family of God, that unity within the family. And as your bulletin there, I thought was good, where it says there at the bottom there on the second page, wisdom, discernment, and unity. And this is within the body of Christ. That there'd be unity. We reaching out to others to bring them also into the family, that they also would be part of the family of God. I want to just to change maybe the message a little bit, but to ask or perhaps present a question. How do we become a part of the family of God? What is it that we have to do to become a member of God's family? And there's just a simple message of God's love. God loves you. God loves me. He wants us to, first of all, or maybe you would say A, is to acknowledge our sin, that we have fallen short of the glory of God. The scripture says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's something that we have done, that we fall short of what God might want. Maybe we don't fall short of what others would want. Perhaps we meet their standards, and maybe we exceed some of the standards of others. But in the sight of God, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So number one, or A, acknowledge sin. Believe. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And not just to acknowledge that there is a God, but that we would commit our lives to God and say, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Please be my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. And then C is sort of along the same line, would be to confess our sins. Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short. Please forgive me. Please come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And there can be just that simple prayer. God loves us. We might reach out to God in various ways. And Billy Graham has a little pamphlet that I used with the boys at Sky Ranch, Steps to Peace with God. And within that little pamphlet, it just simply has a message that God loves, and he has a wonderful plan for our lives. That we reach out to God in various ways, and sometimes we do that. Well, if I do various things, that'll be pleasing unto the Lord. We reach out, but Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Jesus said in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way that we can approach God Almighty through Jesus. Through what Jesus did on Calvary, that he died there for my sins. He died so that I can have salvation, that I can have eternal life. The familiar verse I'm sure you're all familiar with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that believing, that commitment, I like the word commitment sometimes better than believing, that there is that commitment unto Jesus, that I've turned my life over to the Lord. Yes, there are times I fail him, there are times that I falter, but I can go to God and ask for forgiveness. He is there to love me and there to forgive. And as we close, we just want to just pause for a little bit and to contemplate these things. Lord, we're so grateful for your love to us. We're thankful that you would want our homes to be homes of where you would be a part of our lives within those homes. Lord, I pray for these folks here. There's the young ones and them, the young people and the older ones. Lord, you know about our lives. You know about our yesterdays. You know about our todays and our tomorrows. And Lord, I pray that we in some way can be an influence within our culture, within our society, within our standards about the unborn life, about marriage, about other things that are sometimes even controversial, but what your standards would be, and that we would want to follow your standards. And then, Lord, I'm thankful for this family that I can be a part of, the family of believers. There might be relations here, even within this church, that related to Karen and by marriage to myself, and yet there's, it can be even a better part of being the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for this family. Lord, I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Milton uses the King James Version. I can get the King James Version on my tablet, too. He could not hear me turning my pages this morning. This is what I have chosen from Joshua. And God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Remember this week, he's right by you. He's leading, and he'll keep you safe throughout the week. Have a great week.